Going to be out of John, verses 1 through 5. And it'll be up on the screen, as always. As we finish today, message 8. It just seemed like yesterday I was sort of laying this all out. Here we are, Christmas. So hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything that made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Father, thank You for the light. Now open our hearts. We pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen. You know, back in the days before electricity, put the next one. A tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired hand to task because his hired hand carried a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl in the dark. "Why," the old guy said, "when I went courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said, "and look what you got." Let that sink in a minute. Okay. Thank you, Kenny. I also read a story where years ago when people traveled on horses, you know, you didn't have lights and things, so one rider figured out, if I can put my lanterns on my saddle and I can put something in the back of the lantern so the light shows forward, I can ride at night and at least I can see a little bit. So he did. He hooked his lanterns on his saddle. It was known as the first satellite navigation. There you go. I'm waiting for Kenny to catch. Now, come on, class. That's pretty good, right? All right, for those of you who are still asleep, saddle, S-A-T, all right. When you got to explain it, you know it was horrible. You know, when I go out in the early morning hours to run, I have this little powerful flashlight that just fits in my hand. And I can usually see pretty good because mostly I'm on sidewalks and there are street lights and things. But occasionally I'll hit a dark spot on the sidewalk and I'll shine the light to make sure I don't trip over anything. Or if I go back into the cemetery, or I go into Wesselman Woods, or I go all the way down and go on the Greenway, it's dark, so I can shine that light, and it can just, you know, light my way. Plus, I like to see where there are monsters hiding in the bushes. You know, monsters don't come out when there's light, only when it's dark, right? I was reading that the deepest known ocean that we've ever discovered is 7 miles deep. Now, that's pretty impressive right there. I read that if you put Mount Everest at the bottom of that 7 mile deep ocean, it would still be 7,000 feet, that's over a mile, below sea level. The top of Mount Everest wouldn't even go outside of that deep level. There are 3 levels scientists have named the ocean areas, and the deepest, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, is the APHOTIC, aphotic zone, where sunlight cannot penetrate through the water. And so it's absolutely, completely dark. There are some species down there, kind of like a firefly. Not a firefly. What do you call those things in the summer? Is it a firefly? Lightning bug. Lightning bug, yeah. They do have, it's called bioluminescence. There are some species down there. So if you went to the bottom of the deepest part of the ocean, or even when sunlight couldn't reach, you might see a little bitty flicker of light from some of these species down at the bottom of the ocean. I got to thinking about darkness. Sometimes dark is good. Dark is good when you want to go to sleep. Sometimes, all the time. If I'm trying to go to sleep and there's a mirror to the left on a dresser and Kelly will be looking through her phone, and I can see this glowing light, and I can see her in the phone. Because all you got to do is pull the covers over your head. Dark is good if you have a migraine. I often hear people who have migraines say they want to be in the dark. No light. They want to be in the dark. Dark is good when you want to look up at the stars. You can't see the stars as well as you can out in the mountains or out at Jerry's place. You know, you can see the stars good there. And in Florida, when I worked at the airport, I loved it when everybody went home and the sun went down and there weren't buildings around. It just seemed like the stars, you could just grab them. They were so bright. Dark's good when you go to look at Christmas lights. I don't know anybody that says, hey kids, it's 12 noon, let's go look at Christmas lights. Aren't they beautiful? No, you need darkness to bring out the light. Dark can be good when you're watching a movie. Isn't it great if you go to a movie and you sit there in the theater and, you know, you're eating that wonderful buttered popcorn and the lights are up a little bit and they're asking you those stupid quiz questions, you know, on the screen that you can't ever get right. And suddenly the lights get dark and that you feel the music getting louder. Yes! Something about watching a movie in the dark. And I thought of this one this morning, which I don't think any of us will ever be in, but, you know, dark is good if you're trying to escape from a prison camp, right? So just in case, if you're ever in a prison camp, you know, darkness is good. If not, go watch Hogan's Heroes and you'll figure that out. But sometimes dark is bad when you need to see where you're going. Dark is bad. Have you ever tried to find that light switch? Whenever I go in the wee hours of the morning and to have to pick up somebody who's passed away, I have to go down in the belly of the beast and the file cabinets are down there. And if they turned all the lights off, I have to hunt for the lights. But there's one area where the file cabinets are that you really can't see the light switch. And man, I'm always going real quick trying to find that. And I'm not scared of dead people, but it's a big building and it's dark, right? Dark is bad if your dog takes off running at night and they're dark. We haven't had that happen, but I've had that happen in the past. Dark is bad when it gives cover to thieves and robbers. You know, I guess you could try to break into a house in the middle of the day, but usually it's, you know, when I do it, it's usually dark at night. But the worst absolute condition of darkness is spiritual darkness. Nothing defeats that. Nothing will ever be number one over that. The Bible describes spiritual darkness as a brand of morality which blocks the light of God when faith is lacking. The Bible uses darkness as an ignorance of godly things, of divine things. It's associated with wickedness and the misery that wickedness brings. It's a state of not knowing God, but it's also a state of not knowing that you don't know God. Now let that sink in. That's the worst possible state you can be in. Not only does a person not know God, they don't know that they don't know God. That is deep darkness. It's a state of not being able to see spiritually and not ever being able to see unless God opens your heart and eyes. It's a state of hopelessness unless divine intervention takes place. In fact, the Bible describes darkness as being its own kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. It is a separate kingdom in our world. Colossians says he has delivered us from the domain, the rulership, the kingdom of darkness. And if you're a believer, he has transferred you, he has picked you up into a different kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of Light. Ephesians says, and once you walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So darkness has its own kingdom, its own leader, its own rules, its own philosophies. Proverbs says the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, deeper than the 7-mile deep ocean. And they do not know over what they stumble. So those in the kingdom of darkness stumble all the time. They have no idea. They have no clue. They have no clue why they are stumbling. But it is this babe that was born in Bethlehem that brings light to those in darkness. When Nancy was reading her reading today, I wrote this on the back of a Kleenex box that I ripped because I didn't want to forget it, which I thought this was so good. Hope burns a light that shatters the night. And the light the babe brings. That's a great way to put it there. We've seen the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, talk about a lot of the events around the birth of Jesus. Fascinating events, but John doesn't tell us any of that. John goes to theological, by the way, if you don't know what theological means, it comes from two Greek words, theos is God and logos is word, study of the word of God. John goes right to the deep spiritual meaning and doesn't tell us anything about the babe or the manger or any of that. So let's put it up on our screen. Let's just go through this quickly. John tells us that he is the one who already has come. We read this, in the beginning was the Word. He was in the very beginning. He was the Word and he was with God and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. When you say in the beginning, doesn't that ring a bell? Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created. Not the beginning of eternality, because there is no beginning of eternality. God had no beginning. Jesus had no beginning. The Spirit of God had no beginning. But in our beginning, Jesus was already there, though he came as a babe in Bethlehem. He not only was there, he was God. And that's what John wants us to know. And way back in Genesis, when God said, let us make man in our image, plural, let us. Who was God talking to? God the Father was talking to Jesus and the Spirit of God. Let us make man in our image. The babe in the manger already was. He is God. And if you travel all the way down to verse 14, it lets us know that this Word, capital W, became flesh. That's the babe in the manger. And he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Secondly, the one who came is the Creator. He not only was God and was with God, he was the Creator. So here is the little babe in the manger who made everything that was around him. Mary and Joseph and everything that was in that stable or that cave. And if there were any donkeys that showed up or whatever, he made those as well. Here he is. Have you ever seen that show? And I've only seen like clips of it. There's a show where the owner of a company pretends to be a worker. And he shows up and he just gets hired supposedly. And he begins to learn about his workers and he learns about his company. And the ones I saw are really kind of interesting. And some of the owners realize that, you know, they need to give their workers a little more money or they need to change this and they need to change that. And he begins to understand insights about his people and how his company works. Well, that pales in comparison to God, the Creator, coming to his creation. It gives us a little idea about it, but it pales in comparison. And knowing that this Creator came as a babe in the manger, who was God and who was with God, it enables us to pray with more confidence. Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was one in every respect, was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus has gone through everything we've gone through. He may not have gone through every specific thing like we go through. I mean, he never worked at Target. He never worked at Hacienda. He never worked at Mead Johnson. He never worked in the insurance company. Now I got to cover all of you. He never worked at what you do, but he has been in every temptation, every difficulty, exactly like where we are. And when we pray to him, he was here. He was a human. He knows by experience. He created. Colossians says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created, in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you realize today, the only reason why everything is staying together and all the molecules are where they are and we can stand on solid ground and we can breathe and we can see, and when you blow a horn, something comes out of it, and the sun is still there and the moon is still there and all the stars are still there, it's because Jesus is holding it all together. That's what that verse says. And all he would have to do is sneeze one time. All he would have to do is let go and it would all just disintegrate. The one who came as a babe in the manger is the Creator. A.W. Pink said this, "The one who was heralded by the angels to the Bethlehem shepherds, who walked this earth for 33 years, who was crucified at Calvary, who rose in triumph from the grave, and who 40 days later departed from these scenes, was none other than the Lord of glory. Thirdly, the one who came is the light of men." You know, everyone's trying to find meaning and purpose in life, aren't they? They are. Everybody's trying to find meaning. And they'll do this, and they'll do this, and they'll do this. And I think it's designed so that when we go to bed at night, we always know something's lacking. I enjoyed that. That was such a blessing, but there's something lacking. I think that's built in us. Because there is something lacking, isn't there? Because everything's tarnished by sin. There is a greater day coming. Everybody's trying to find purpose. And the purpose is in the Word, capital W. One author brought this up, and I had never heard this, and I thought this was very interesting. But back when Jesus lived, the Greek philosophers were so prevalent. You know, the really smart people. And one Greek philosopher said, "Everything's always changing." Have you noticed that? I've heard people say, "I wish Christmas was like it was when I was a kid." You know, there's a little truth to that. You know, you didn't have to pay taxes. You didn't have to pay your mortgage. You didn't have to worry much about going to the doctor. You know, all kinds of things. You just had to worry about getting the passing grade. That's all I cared about. Some of you tried to get A's. I just wanted a passing grade. Now, I'll give you a word how smart I am. I think all through grade school and high school, I got straight A's in band and orchestra and in gym class. Okay. You got a scholar. I'm telling you what. But this scholar said everything changes. And there's some truth to that. He said you can never step twice into the same river. It's never the same because the water's always flowing. Now that's deep. No pun intended about the water. It always flows on. The thought is that everything is like that, but then everything's also in order. And the question was, if everything is changing around us, what keeps all the things in order that are in order? And one philosopher said, it must be the logos. Now you're saying, what is the word logos? It's the Greek word John used for word. Logos. Ask Abby the Greek declension for logos because she learned it when she was a little kid. I taught it to her. Logos, logoi, logu, logon. Remember that? But this is the logos, the word. And isn't it amazing? A philosopher said, there must be a divine word that puts it all together. And from that moment, the word logos, some people pronounce it logos, but technically it's logos, fascinated the Greeks. And here was their question. What keeps the stars in their courses? Do you know you can go up today and look up at the stars and they are in the same place that were when Jesus walked the earth? Now to me, that's kind of fascinating. What controls the seasons? Summer, spring, winter, fall. The divine logic, who will reveal all mysteries and make everything plain, is what Plato said. There must be a day there will come forth the divine logos. Well, guess what? John let them know he's here. He's the one that makes sense of everything. He's the one that answers all the questions when nothing seems to make sense in our world today. He is the only one, is the light of men. He gives meaning to life. It's only found in Christ. John says in chapter 5, "For as the Father has life in himself, he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." There is spiritual life in Christ and no darkness. I saw this definition of darkness. Darkness travels at the speed of light. Did you ever think about that? Darkness also travels the same speed that light travels. More accurately, darkness does not exist by itself as a unique physical entity, but is simply the absence of light. Sometimes when the grandkids come and they wear these cool t-shirts that they didn't invent when I was a kid, these cool t-shirts, and they have these glow-in-the-dark dinosaurs or sharks or something, or they get a glow-in-the-dark toy, I'll say, come into the bedroom. And we'll go into the bedroom and make sure all the curtains are closed and the door is shut. And if they don't cry, we'll leave it dark. And then, of course, first you got to hold them up to the light. So I got to pick them up and hold them up to the... Okay, I think that's good enough. Or I get a flashlight and it's... And then we go in there and I'll... But the hard part is, for them to see it, they have to look dumb like this, you know. I can see it because it's just naturally dark when you shut off all the lights and the curtains and you can see the light shining. Darkness is just absence of light. In Christ's life, He is the light that destroys the darkness. No one ever goes and buys a box of darkness. Here's a box of darkness. No one ever goes. In fact, I drive around town and there are several light stores and all they sell are lights. And you can see in the glass window beautiful lights that are hanging and it's all bright. I think they give you sunglasses when you walk in that store. But have you ever driven by a dark store where they have all of these darks without a light bulb? Ridiculous. Darkness is just the absence of light. No team ever schedules a game at night and says it's going to be dark. Can you imagine this dark car race at night without lights? You hear the, well, however, you know, gentlemen and ladies, start your engines, and the next thing you hear would be what? You just don't do it. Darkness is just here. It's absence of light. In Genesis 1, remember what it said? It was dark. You can't touch it. You can't grab it. You can't throw it. You can't put it in a box or a jar. It just shows up when there's no light. We just bought this little cheap batteried light. And it came with a little sticky thing and you can hook that little light under like a closet or a shelf. And we have this medicine. It's almost like a medicine cave. It's so, you couldn't find anything in there if you tried. But it's all in there. But before, you'd open that little door and it'd be like dark. I can't see. Well, now I put that little light, stuck it under there, and it's also motion detected. I think it was less than $5, too. You open that door and the light turns on. Kind of like a refrigerator. Isn't that awesome? And now you can see. Now you can see. But see, dark is just there. Do you know all of us were conceived and dark was just there? Conceived in sin. Born in sin. We got it from Adam. We got it from our dads. We didn't get it from our mamas. Romans 5:12, men pass down sin. People cannot see. They cannot know. They don't even know that they cannot see. They do not know that they cannot know. They are in darkness. And John 1:13 says it's the complete work of God that saves them. They were not born of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man. But God has to supernaturally reach in and give them a light. Hang on, we're getting close to the landing the plane. It goes back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. What happened? God said, let there be light. Do you know God said, let there be light before He created the sun? It was His light that shined. It was an illustration of what God does in our hearts. Matthew 4 says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Luke 1, we read, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. 2 Corinthians says, God said, let light shine out of darkness, as He did in Genesis 1. He shines the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the one that shines light into our heart and helps us to see and helps us to know. John 3 says, judgment is this. Light came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates God's light and will not come to it. You see, the reason why people won't turn to Christ is because they have a love problem. They love their darkness. And they know that God says, repent, move away from the darkness. Paul was told that he was being sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Why? So that they may turn from darkness to light. Well, conclusion. The kingdom of darkness is the worst place to be. The worst place to be. Because people don't even know they're in it. Wouldn't it be horrible to be blind and not know it? Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And I thought of three simple conclusions. The first one's on the board screen. We must never hide the world of darkness by man's evil imaginations. You see, we do live in a wicked world, don't we? We've talked about it. I mean, people think they're cats. People think they're dogs. People go around meowing and purring and barking. And I will bark at my dog every now and then just to freak her out. But we live in a bizarre world. Men think they're women. Women think they're men. Yeah, we could go down the list. But we as God's people must never hide that world of darkness and compromise. We can never compromise God's truth. People need to know in love what God said. Secondly, which is related, we must never lose our love and compassion for those trapped in the kingdom of darkness. We do live in a world of change, don't we? And you and I must understand that people cannot see and they cannot know, and they do not know that they do not see, and they do not know that they cannot know, that they do not know they're in the kingdom of darkness. And we have to be careful that we don't get angry with them and frustrated with them. We have to remind ourselves that that could be me. That could be me. And we must keep compassion, even for people that think they're cats. Even for people who are twisting God's creation of men and women. All the evil. And that's why point one is so important. We never change. We hold on to truth, even if it brings suffering. But we must never lose our compassion. The third and the final point, we must pray that God shines the light of the glorious gospel of Christ unto them so that they can change kingdoms. And we must never, ever give up on praying, because that's the only way people will be changed. And so I trust that we all understand that it is the babe who was sent in a manger to bring light to those in darkness. Father, thank you for your loving grace, your mercy, for sending us the light of the world, for letting us know that we were in darkness, because we would never know it if you hadn't have shined the light upon us. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity we've had in these last 8 weeks to think about the wonderful gift of you sending your son. Lord, if there's anyone here today or maybe listening to this at a future date through the internet who does not have the light of the world, I pray that you would draw them to yourself and open up their heart, open up their mind, that they may repent and be changed. And for those of us, Lord, that we can see that you've done that in our lives, help us to love those for whom you have not done that for yet. Give us patience and grace and compassion for those that live bizarre lives. But give us boldness and courage to stand with the truth no matter what suffering it may bring. And may we be going to the throne of grace often, praying for you to change hearts as you changed our own. We pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen.